This is the Family Culture Movement. Are you ready to break up with the dysfunctional beliefs and behaviors that have been passed on to you from generations past and from our dominant culture and start parenting with intention? Then you're in the right place. The Family Culture Movement is where you'll learn how to take inventory of the narratives and social conditioning shaping your family dynamics and say no to the dominant culture. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. I'm going to help you break dysfunctional patterns and lead your family with confidence and resilience. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, be sure to check out the last episode of the Family Culture Movement with my friend and guest, Evans Putman. We talked about a powerful routine that he has for meditation and visualization that empowers him throughout the day to succeed. Welcome to the show, Stephen Dosu, founder of Salesforce, an empowerment and motivational platform which focuses on how to use emotional intelligence to ignite transformation of individuals and groups. Salesforce is about unleashing people's non-cognitive and leadership skills necessary to the fulfillment of their true potential and the catalyst of their various life and business goals. Creator of Ignite the Transformation and founder of Salesforce Catalyst, co-founder of Leadership University, author, inspirational speaker, and transformational coach, Stephen has impacted thousands of lives on a global scale. Nicknamed Action Man, he is viewed by his peers as a charismatic visionary who undoubtedly believes in unleashing the human potential by inspiring people to break their boundaries and redefine their limits.
Thank you so much, Jody. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be with you today. And thank you for making this opportunity happen that, you know, one more time, our voices can go out there and hopefully, you know, inspire someone or make an impact into somebody's life. So you are full of awesomeness.
You are full of awesomeness. This is great. I love having you on the show. I love your energy. This is awesome. So I'm so excited to have you and talking about this. And I love this idea of that you're talking about breaking boundaries and redefining limits, because that's really what having intentional family culture is about. And the first question I want to ask you is, what did you want to be growing up as a kid when you grew up?
Yeah. So, Jody, thank you for your question. I always make it a point that, you know, I share with people, because the truth is not a lot of people know where I actually come from, my country of origin. And that is Togo, T-O-G-O, not Tokyo. No. I mean, around okay. here, Asia, because a lot of people don't know Togo. And I meet a lot of internationals. And when I say I'm from Togo, they're like, Tokyo? I'm like, no, not Tokyo. Like, no.
So, different continent.
Togo is a West African. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So Togo is a West African country. North to the south is 600 kilometers, east to the west, 180 kilometers. And it's between Ghana and Benin, right? And the population there currently is about 7 million people. We grew drastically over the past 10 years. We actually used to be 4 million people only, right? So that's where I grew up, you know, and I grew up with my mom. I mean, basically, you know, we came from, you know, humble beginnings, I call it. Basically, we didn't grow up with much, okay? And one thing that was common in our life was, you know, feeding ourselves with our staple food, which was made out of corn flour and some veggies. Okay. And that's what we'll eat, you know, every single day. So as a kid, you know, kids can be picky sometimes. You know, I'll be like, you know, mom, I don't want to eat these because, you know, it's the same time. For Western kid, I'm sure it will be similar to broccoli, right?
Okay.
You know, Western kids will be like, no, I don't want to eat broccoli. Yeah, exactly. Something like that. So, but here's the thing, because our town is small, I mean, the capital city, even though it's a capital city, not really a city, but, you know, every flight that would depart, everybody will see, you know, so everybody can hear, you know, and I loved aeroplanes, you know, so I ran after the aeroplanes, and my mom and my sister knew that. And they use that as a weapon against me every time I say that I don't want to eat. This is what they did. So we had one particular clothes that, you know, we wore only on special days, Christmas or New Year. And that kind of clothes was just there for that, you know. So we wore it this year, the next year. They always make sure that they buy a little bit oversized so you can wear it for at least 3 years, you know.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So what my mom or my sister will do was that they would be like, okay, listen, go and wear that clothes. You know, we are going to catch a plane today. Like, yes. So, I mean, I just, you know, got a fresh bath and I'm wearing Christmas clothes. So we catching a plane guaranteed, you know. So I would go and remember now the incentive or the work that needs to be put in before you catch a plane, which is the incentive, you need to eat that food on that day. So I'll go eat as much, I'll eat as much and as fast as I could because I wanted to catch the plane. And what they will do is, after finishing, they will take my hand. We walk like 50, 60 meters. They'll be like, oh, the pilot has left. And guess what? As a kid, I fell for that every single time, Jody. I fell for it every single time. So anyway, to answer your question, Jody, is that I wanted to be a pilot so bad. Totally.
Oh, that's a great story. I love Isn't that funny? So how did that, like, having that desire to be a pilot, how did that influence you when you were growing up? Like, how did it influence who you became?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question, Jody, because if I think back right now, I think, you know, I've become a totally different person from that kid that wanted to be a pilot. But one thing that was common, though, not something that is common between that dream or desire of being a pilot, even though being a kid, and the person that I am right now, what is common between those two things, although, you know, right now I'm standing at a very different extreme. What is common, though, is the hunger and desire to succeed. You know, that is what is common to those, right? So, yeah, definitely. I am still very much hungry, driven, right? Even possessed by the idea to accomplish, you know, bigger things in life, to impact 50 million, 150 million people on the face of this earth, write over 60 books before I give my last breath, right? So that hunger and desire, though, is still the same. Just that because we are shaped by life experiences, right now I'm a different person from that kid that wanted to be a pilot.
But you have that hunger to succeed. I love it. I love that. So that's so cool. Okay. So do you have an experience? What was it in your path? You know, forget about being a pilot, but you still have this desire and this hunger to succeed. What was your experience that gave you that, that was like a pivotal moment for you that you knew that this is the path you wanted to be on now?
Well, Jody, I mean, I've been asked that question before, you know, if I really had the pivotal moment. I mean, the truth is, Jody, I'll be lying to you right now if I told you that I indeed had that pivotal moment, that decisive moment where I was like, you know, today I'm very hungry. Here's the thing, Jody. Here's the thing. So, I mean, what I left out when I was, you know, talking to you about where I grew up was that I have 9 siblings. Okay, so I grew up with 9 siblings. Okay, in a little 2-bedroom house back home in Africa. All right, and like I said, like we didn't grow up with much. I mean, I walked 5-10 miles to school, you know, every single day as a kid. And after that, even finishing high school, which I finished at the age of 15 years old, I was the first in the country, you know, in my entire country, in my field, which was commerce and business. I was the first one, but I didn't get a scholarship. And after that, you know, even going to university was a mission because the ratio back then was 4,000 students to 1 professor. And I remember like those days, you know, if a professor had a projector for himself, he was viewed among his peers as a star, you know. So, you know, I mean, I've grown up, you know, in, you know, some obvious conditions that I would say that are not really favorable for you to actually be or achieve what you want to be, right? Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in university, how I would actually put money in my pocket is through sales, right? Selling computers, accessories, connecting people to make, you know, to come to business deals, and I would get my commission. So, I mean, I was really hustling, you know, at a very young age, you know, again, because of the force that I was motivated by, which is emerging from my background,
Yeah.
You know, so already from a very early age, you know, I had already, you know, that hustle in me, which just grew bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and fast forward, you know, to after university, I left my home country at the age of 18, actually, to embark on a journey, you know, very much decided to actually change my circumstances. And let me tell you something, Jory, that journey that I embarked on, if I was given $10 million or $15 million or $1 billion to do it again, I don't think I would. Though it shaped me totally.
Yes.
I mean, in
real okay.
Yes. Because it was tough. You understand? It was tough, Jody. It was tough, you know? I mean, days came on that journey where 2-3 days with no food, you know, no shelter. You know, I mean, at a point when I was in South Africa, when I landed in South Africa, eventually, I mean, I was sleeping in the shack. The rent was $20, Jody, and I couldn't even afford the rent back then. And you know, I always say this, people laugh, but it is true. In that shack, there were these mice that would come and eat your food. They would be like, you know, we're going to eat your food. What can you do? We know you are broke, you know. So, you know. It was tough, you know what I'm saying? And so anyway, I had no choice but to be hungry to succeed, you know, to be hungry to get out of that circle, you know. So it was even two choices, simple, you know. I could stay there, okay, cry myself out and complain and, you know, come up with any excuse or, you know, start digging myself out of the hole. That was it, you know. So I've actually chose the second part, which is digging myself out of the hole. And that's what I've been living by throughout my entire life throughout till today.
Yeah. Wow. That's so inspiring. You know, Stephen, the reality is like, I feel you when you say you wouldn't want to relive those experiences that shaped who you are. I mean, even though I can't imagine what you went through and it was insanely difficult, but everybody has like their threshold, right? Of what is it that's like their trauma, right? and so I look at other people and the things that they experience is like, I could never do that. But then they maybe look at my experience, like, they can never do this. But the point is, everybody, and this is a family platform, you know, like that even families, we have to go through these situations together, where we have to put our foot down and say, no, we need to dig ourselves out of this. There has to be a better life. And unfortunately, a lot of us are not willing to do that. We're ready. We're just like, this isn't the path I wanted. I'm done. I quit. I'm out of here. Right. And so basically what you're saying, though, is you said, I'm not willing to accept the alternative path of quitting and going back to the life that I'm getting away from. Right. And that's really powerful message, because whether that's in career or family or weight loss or money or, you know, or addiction or whatever it is that people go through, we have to go through that path that, looking back, you're going, that was hell and nobody can pay me enough to go through that again. Right. And so that's inspiring to hear your story that you say, I want to dig out of this. The alternate is not an option. I'm going to climb out of this. And so that's awesome. That's really powerful.
Exactly.
I love it. I love that. Yeah. So, okay. So here's the thing that I like to talk about then is, from your experiences, what you've gone through, mainstream belief, right? Like there's a generally accepted belief that a lot of times, like you say, this is a generally accepted belief that it's okay to quit, or that it's okay to give up and to just give in to our addictions or give in to this idea to quit. And so my goal is to discuss, okay, what is the generally accepted belief in your experience that is keeping us from progressing and growing?
Well, I mean, talking about quitting, Jody, you know, quitting is a very, very interesting concept. And I guess we could find actually two groups of people, you know, if we have to look on the face of this earth right now. And there are those that will talk about, you know, quitting that they will say that we need to uncondition ourselves from this idea of not quitting, okay? And some will agree with the opposite of that, right? So here's the thing. In the book Think Like a Freak by Stephen Dabner and Stephen Levy, they talk about the upside of quitting, right? So,
okay.
I mean, it is true that in this world, you know, I mean, it's all about being motivated, being driven, being passionate, you know, being hungry and being for whatever you want to do. And we get that, you know. But also, I mean, they talk about, you know, quitting having an upside. And that upside comes in when you know, I mean, yeah, when you know when to quit and how to quit so that it does not take more out of you. Okay, so what am I trying to say by this, Jody? What I'm trying to say is that, first of all, I am not promoting, you know, the idea of quitting. I'm a firm believer of being relentless. Okay, mm-hmm. Literally being relentless. If you want it bad enough, go for it. Do whatever you have to do. Give whatever that needs to be given so that you can get what you want or so that you can be where you want to be. However, though, in that process of, you know, getting where you want to be, you might have to quit some things in the process in order for you to be what you want to be, in order for you to become what you want to become, right? I love the quote that says that that what you become in the pursuit of success is actually important than the success itself, right?
Yeah.
So basically, by becoming that person, there's going to be decisions that you have to make. And some of those decisions will be to quit on some things. Some of those decisions will be to hold on to some things. And I think what is mostly important here is not really about, you know, whether we quit or we don't, but it's mostly, you know, how firm we are, how committed we are to our decisions. Right? And how true those decisions are. Are they really contributing in us, you know, being the person that we need to become in order for us to be what we want to be? You see, success, the way I view success is that, and that's, you know, the definition of Earl Nightingale actually blows my mind till today. It says that success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Right. So basically, everybody is successful as long as they are actually living, right? They are worthy ideal. They are living what is their purpose for that. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So basically, what actually stops us from progressing, Jody, you know, what stops us from actually, you know, going relentlessly, you know, behind those things which we so desire the most. Yeah, first of all, I think the root of it is our decisions, right? Mm-hmm. The muscles behind our decisions become very weak at a certain point. So we don't commit anymore totally, right? You know, like relentlessly, like with every cell of our bones, like in our body. And guess what? When the challenge comes, because it's going to come knocking,
yeah,
we just drop the ball. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So basically what you're saying is that we need to define what we're committed to and stick to it. That sometimes when you say there are some things that we need to actually be willing to give up. So those are things that we need to give up in order to be more committed to the things that we really want. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Totally.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So what are some of the things that are happening in our minds and our decisions that are keeping us? You say that we're getting weaker in that resolve, right? To be relentless. Why? What is happening that's weakening that muscle, that ability to have that resolve?
Okay, great. So, I mean, in my book, Be Transformed, Return with Journey to Your True Self, I talk about the three toughest demons of mankind. And those three toughest demons are nothing more, Jody, than fear, self-doubt, and low self-esteem, right? I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do, right? Those are the three toughest demons of mankind. The African proverb says that if there are no enemies within, the enemies outside can do us no harm. And the enemies within are nothing more during than fear, self-doubt, and low self-esteem, right? If we don't have those three things, we literally can become whatever we want to be, right? And fear, which is the false evidence appearing real, self-doubt, a paralyzing force, which stops us from taking action. Low self-esteem is a feeling of being unlovable, awkward, incompetent, lack of confidence. Those three things put together are fed, right, by the little failures, right, that we have in our lives, the little types of traumas that we have in our lives, and how we choose what process and then hold on to those little time that we have. A friend of mine says that he wished he had no memory. You know, he says he wished he had no memory because, you know, when something happens to him and he memorizes that and a similar situation rises again, you know, that time that he goes through plays again, therefore triggers in him the fear of actually holding himself back, right? So to answer your question, right, what are the things that are actually holding us back? Those are the three demons, Jody, and those are fear, self-doubt, and low self-esteem. And you know what causes those? It's life, right? Yeah. What causes, and you know, the cause of that, and what can also get rid of that is the same thing. It's life, all right?
Yeah.
Life can bring the fear in you, and life can take the fear away from you, right? And again, it goes back to a matter of decision. Which part of the bar do you want to be? Do you want to be on the bar which, you know, when people come across challenges, they get excited. They're like, yeah, bring more challenge to me. Or you want to be on the bar where people say like, oh man, another challenge again. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is more than me, right? So it's a matter of choosing where you want to belong. But the fact of the matter, Jody, is this, right? And that is something that I've made peace with since my childhood until today. That has set me free. Know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And what do you want to know? Do you want to know what has set me free, Jody? Do you want to know?
I do.
Okay, great. Let me tell you. Let me share with you what has set me free. What has set me free, Jody, is this, right? Is that whatever you do, life is forever going to be life, right? And it's always going to throw mud at you. And sometimes it's going to be a plane that's going to hit you. Sometimes, though, it's going to be milk and honey on your plate, right?
Mm.
So life is forever going to be life. And I love the quote of Les Brown that says that life is a fight for territory. When you start fighting for what you don't want takes over, right? So yeah, life is life and it's forever going to be like that. So even if I have $1 billion today, I'm going to have a $1 billion problem, right? Even the person that has no food to eat today, he's got no food to eat problems, right? So we just can't do anything about it. So why fear at all? Why doubt ourselves? Why, you know, believe ourselves so little?
Wow. So what you're saying is like, whatever life throws at you, we just roll with it. You know, you're going to have problems because that's life. And not to say, oh, another problem, but to welcome it as an opportunity. That really this is an opportunity to learn, to grow, to fight for the things that we want. Because as soon as we become stagnant, the things that we don't want are going to creep in. We have to fight for those things and to see those as opportunities to grow and to find what we want. I love this so much because of this, you know, this idea of I'm talking about family culture as being intentional, how we raise our families and with the way that the you know, dominant culture with raising families is to just wing it, right? And is to just say, oh, you know, our kids are going to be kids or whatever. We'll deal with the problems as they arise. But what you're saying in you know, in the context of this idea that I love to talk about family culture is basically we have to be intentional to fight for the culture and the values that we want, not to just wing it, but to be deliberate and intentional, because otherwise those things we don't want are just going to creep in.
Agree,
into our families.
Agree, Jody. And when we talk about family culture, Jody, I think I think family culture, it's you know, it is a very, very, very important thing, Jody. I don't know what inspired you to actually, you know, want to create, you know, whatever you are doing right now around that. But let me tell you something, Jody. You are fulfilling a huge mission. You know, you are making a huge impact out there. Because, you know, the reason why I'm saying that, Jody, is because, I mean, the society as it is right now, we are only a product, right, of our families, okay? Yep. And whether men or women are broken or they are well-shaped today, we are just a product of our families, right? Of the values that, you know, we bought into when we were young kids, or, you know, the ones that, you know, we chose to accept from our parents or so forth, right? And you know, and raising your children, you know, with an intent, okay, and I say with a program, and I mean this, right, with a proper program, with a proper, you know, objective of the output of the men or women that you want your children to become in society is essential. Because, you know, there's an African proverb that says that when the child is in your womb, it's yours. But as soon as it's out, it's for the society, it's for everyone, you know? So I mean, I might be living for myself, but the truth is that, am I really living for myself? No, there is somebody somewhere that's looking at me like, hey, you know, Stephen is cool, you know, I like him. So even unintentionally, Jody, we inspire people, whether we like it or not, right? So living with the right values, which we embrace from our families, is essential to the to our society, to our world, to thrive, you know. We talk all the time about, you know, creating a better world, but creating a better world is nothing more than creating a better family culture.
100%. Yeah. So, okay. So let's find out, like, from you, what is your solution for, you know, if we want to raise our kids to have this fearlessness and this self-esteem and confidence, you know, to conquer those demons, what are some of the things that we can do to instill those values in our families?
Well, I think before we even get to what we can do, Jody, I would say that, first of all, as parents, I think it's essential that we live with an ideology of not divorcing.
Okay. Yeah. So having commitment to staying together. Okay.
Yes, okay. Jody, because, I mean, So what happens, Jody? What happens, Jody, when you raise a man or woman in an area of conflict? You raise a man that or woman that grows up with an idea that conflict is good, right? Or it's either the man or woman believes conflict is good, or the man or women themselves are broken inside. Because that's what conflict is. Conflict is breaking apart. So it actually breaks people down, you know. And honestly speaking, Jody, I firmly believe that, you know, our society is nowadays, you know, is decaying from its core, mainly because we are actually shifting from those values. And those values are simple as, you know, avoiding, you know, the whole divorce ideology. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I find it shocking. Today, actually, I was recording a course on relationship, you know. Basically, it's the title is What Men Should Have Known About Women in the 21st Century and What Women Should Have Known About Men in the 21st Century, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the roles have changed. Women now can do everything men can do, or vice versa. So, I mean, there is a little bit of identity crisis here and that. Okay, so men do not know anymore how to really please women. You know, women also do not know where to feed, you know, because they have to, you know, play the role of the leader. They have many things to juggle with.
Yeah.
So, and that is just making the divorce rate skyrocketing, Jody. Do you know that nowadays, right, out of every 1,000 marriages, you know, there are over 150 that are divorced, you know, with the United States leading followed by Maldives and Belarus.
Interesting.
It's really crazy, right? So anyway, so to get back to your question, Jody, first of all, I believe that, you know, we need to live in a home where we not believe in the idea of divorce. Now, if somebody's listening to this, they'll be like, hey, but what if it's not working? What do I need to do? Well, then my answer to you is that, I mean, you got yourself into it, right? You are the one that stood in front of everybody and say, hey, I want to come into this. I do. Okay. So please show her the way, right? Like, do it. Okay. You said it, just do it. Because you see, when we are continuously, you know, stuck, I mean, getting stuck in this cycle of divorce, what we are doing, Jody, is just raising broken women and men in the society. And guess what? Broken women and men can only also raise other broke women and men. And that continues again and again and again. All right. Mm. So first of all, let us, you know, embrace the idea that, you know, we are together, to be together, to live together, to do everything together, you know, show to our children that, you know, there is strength in unity. Okay. And I think that is the root of every education. Because once a family is balanced and happy enough, children can literally, you know, I mean, they are like sponges, right? They literally copy everything their parents do. And once that is done, you know, we can easily influence them the way we want them to be in order for them to be something valuable for the society.
Wow. And it shows, I mean, I know a lot of people who are divorced, so it's something that, you know, it happens. It happens, right? But when you there's a level of modeling an example, being an example of resilience, right? Mm. When you can work through, because those conflicts, some people will say that actually the conflict was inevitable and it was better to separate, right? Yeah. So that's a hard one. That's a hard pill to swallow. Yeah. But you know, but when you can learn to resolve those conflicts together, that it doesn't have to be that, I mean, because we started out in this conversation saying that sometimes in order to continue something, you have to quit something else, right? But what you're saying is ideally it's not your marriage, right? It's not the actual institution. Like, no, the commitment is to stick with your marriage. The things that you need to quit are the things that are deteriorating your relationship and creating the conflict. Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps, Julie, I needed to correct that a little bit on my side. And I think you actually just got me there. I mean, when I'm talking about this, right, I understand that there are some situations that are inevitable. I mean, for instance, you are being abused by your husband or a woman. I mean, you don't want to be there, right? Because you're just gonna end up dying. And even that abuse, even, you know, is even raising children that are also going to be broken, right?
Yeah,
I totally get that. But what I'm saying is that, even after that, you know, that whole circumstance, do we raise our children with that hurt in our hearts, right? Do we raise them with that soul or with that hate?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. When I'm saying that, you know, I'm talking divorce more the moral behind the divorce, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's necessary for you to quit something. I agree. Yeah.
So what I hear you saying is that, like, when you get married, that you're starting out with a commitment that divorce is not an option, right? That's what you said. It's like, you know, then you're willing to do the things that when you come against those conflicts, you're saying, well, we got to figure this out because it's not an option to just quit and just not an option to just walk away. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's really powerful. Like, that's for me and my marriage, like, that was, you know, we signed up for this, we're in it together forever. And even though we've come across our conflicts, and I know families that got married around the same time as us that have ended. And it's like, I just want to, like, I want to go run over to them and give them a big hug and just be like, I'm sorry that it got this way. I'm sorry that you had to draw this conclusion. Because I know what it feels like when we have those conflicts, but because Michael and I, we made that commitment, right? Like, we were just like, whatever it takes, all right, we don't know what life is going to throw at us, right? Like you were saying before, life is life. We don't know what life's going to throw at us. Yeah. And really the commitment to stay together is just the commitment to say, we're going to handle whatever life throws at us together.
Exactly.
Because whether it's the life that we sign up for after this divorce, which comes with its own conflicts, or the life within this marriage that comes with the conflicts, exactly, we're making a choice, which one of those, and ideally it's to stay together and handle those life situations together.
Exactly.
That's powerful. It's powerful, but it's like, how do we, you know, having those, there's sometimes a lot of parents, like couples, don't always have the tools to say, okay, to do these things together, to face these life problems and conflicts together. A lot of times we face them in our own ways, even though we're married. Right. And so it's like, okay, how do you, what would you say, Stephen, how do we bridge that gap between handling the conflicts individually to, no, we need to handle them collectively. How we need to handle them together. What is some advice around that?
Great. So, I'm not sure, you know, if this is the right platform to, you know, but, you know, I don't want to offend, you know, anybody listening out there, but I love reading the Bible, and I find that the Bible is, you know, one of the greatest books that has ever been written, a compilation of books, because it's basically a lot of books in there. And one thing that I've read in the book of Proverbs that, you know, stuck with me is that through wisdom, a house is established. And through knowledge, it is built. Okay, so I mean, what this particular verse is teaching us is that when there is wisdom, you know, in the house, the foundation is rock solid. Mm-hmm. Okay, and because through that wisdom will come communication, through that wisdom will come respect, through that wisdom will come a step taken back to actually observe the conflict of the situation and say, but hang on, you know what? I played a part in this, or then the other party will also say, you know what? I think, you know, I was wrong here. So let's fix it and let's move on together, right? So I'm saying that, you know, there has to be a relentless drive on both parties in the relationship to actually pursue wisdom, you know, and wisdom through knowledge gaining, right? Through sharing the right time, through understanding what is, you know, the value that matter for the man and what are the values that matter for the woman. And it goes hand in hand, right?
So that's awesome. I love that whole perspective, Stephen. That's really, it's really powerful. So thank you. This is great. And just to conclude, like, where can we find you? Where can we connect more of these things that your ideas and the things you're teaching?
Stephen Dosu, Jody, Stephen, StevenDossou is the full name, right? You go onto Instagram, I'm right there hanging out there. On nice. Facebook, I'm right there. LinkedIn, check me out, right? And www.stephendossou.com, you will find me. I'm always, you know, all ears, right? Bring it on. Let us make it ignite, right? That's awesome. Me.
So you mentioned this relationship course that you're a portion of a course that's about relationships. What is your upcoming next project that you're working on right now?
Well, I mean, I'm the, you know, I don't know if you've heard about this quote of Jim Rohn that says, when death comes and find you, let it find you conquering another mountain, not sliding an old one. Okay, so I'm always conquering new mountains every single time. You know, I'm just that guy. So what I'm going to work on next is to host a summit. I mean, I've got this event brand called Ignite Transformation. So I hold summit every 2 or 3 months, okay, with some epic speakers around the world. And what I want to do next is I want to host a massive summit. And my goal is to have a minimum of at least 3,000 participants, you know, live on air. That's my next, yeah.
Awesome. So we can connect that on your website, right? Stephen
Dossou. Yeah, awesome. My website. And I'll publish it. So on my Facebook, on my Instagram, it's going to be there.
Awesome. Oh, cool. Very cool. I really appreciate you sharing, Stephen, and thank you for coming on the show. And I look forward to your summit as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody. You are awesome. And thanks to you. Thanks to the listeners. They are awesome. They are beautiful. They are lovely. I am excited to have been here. And thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in for this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Don't miss the next episode with Kent and Amy Bowler, where we talk about how powerful and important it is to always see your children as heroes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Please download this episode, subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave a review. Take a screenshot and tag me in a post about your experience with any questions you'd like me to answer on the show for a mention on the podcast. For more tools for shaping your intentional family culture, be sure to sign up for your free membership of the Family Leadership Toolbox at homeandfamilyculture.com. Until next time, remember, Mother Teresa once said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.